FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 9/5/19. Yes, August. That was a hell of an August. Hey, September's starting off with a bang, right? Hurricane Dorian, and there's a bunch of other hurricanes kicking around. But like so many things, well, you know, sometimes where you are matters a lot more than anything else. If you were 100 miles off the coast of Florida, in Grand Bahamas, you got destroyed. But if you were in Florida where I was, it was just a little wind and a little rain, nothing major. But hey, that's the way life works. So, you know, some ideas, some bad ideas, just don't know how to die. And the reason why often is that the people who know better don't act as if they know better. And then the question is, well, what do you do? How do you put these old, bad, discarded, discredited ideas to bed finally? How do you get rid of them? And I don't know the answer to that, but perhaps Dr. John Huber, our good friend, he can figure it out. Dr. Huber is always welcome back. So how do we finally bury socialism?
Well, Kerry, you know, I wish it was really easy to say how. I think we have some things that are actually happening in some communist countries. I think what's going on in Hong Kong, I think that there is a great likelihood we may see a revolution in that country with China and the people asking for democracy. You know, we saw that once at Tiananmen Square and they squashed it really quickly. However, now that Hong Kong is part of the country and they had been, you know, a democratic society for up until 2000 and then, you know, China took control over it. They have had this upwelling within the whole country of China. I have Chinese nationalists that are friends of mine and their family members. And it's really, when they come and visit, that's all they want to know is about how our republic works. And then I turn around and I watch them on their social media and I'm getting little tidbits of them doing things, trying to stir the pot, so to speak. And it's kind of a scary thing when I hear that, you know, the government over there is using these social credit scores and stuff so they can harm people who don't do what they want them to do. And it's pretty scary. But I think the powder keg is being loaded right now. And hopefully if that happens, we'll have something to look at, because, you know, we've got so many of our young people who have no clue what the history of this country really is, because they have a lot of people who don't tell the true story. They don't tell the whole story. They only give them the parts and pieces that they want. There's, you know, there's even some friends of mine who are in another state who found out as a school board member that their history teachers were teaching their children in the schools, public schools, that Abraham Lincoln was a Democrat. And it's disturbing how unreliable and how deceitful people who somehow think that socialism is a good idea. I laugh every day when I hear they want gun confiscation, when just a few months ago they were talking about how they believe that our current president is a Nazi. And what do they want to do? Give the only guns to a Nazi leader? They make no sense. And if we looked at it, what could we do to these people to help them see something different? I think possibly what could happen is what some of my friends in the Netherlands do is they're required when they turn 18, before they can go to college, they have to do a year of service, period. And that definitely loads them up with this national belief set that they are responsible and part of that country, and that their country is great. It's amazing when they talk to me about the fervor they have for their own country.
Yeah, well, you know, ignorance has never been a scarce commodity, and perhaps now it's in more overabundant supply than ever before. But look, we go back to the Mayflower. I mean, we could go back to the Bible. And we know that socialism doesn't work. Every example of it has always failed. I don't know how they look at Venezuela with a straight face and say that's a system worth emulating. It makes no sense.
Well, you know, Venezuela is a special gem of theirs. Remember, because when it happened, they called it democratic socialism, like they say they want to put here. It was voted for by the people. The people are in love with this. This is going to be so good.
Yeah.
And then what happened? You know, the shark's teeth came out, and you know, we've heard stories of up to, you know, 15,000 citizens being killed this past summer by the police and the government, you know, because they were standing up to them. Now 50% of the people have no running water in Venezuela. 50% of the people have no electricity in Venezuela. And there's no food in the grocery stores, and the bread factories aren't making bread. So, wow, it's turned out really well. But now you don't hear a peep out of it in the media.
Yeah.
Just like, nothing. You know, you hear them touting gun control, yet this week, what happened? The Maine was identified as the safest state in this country, yet 4 years ago in 2015, they went to constitutional carry. Period. No regulations, nothing. And in those 4 years, it has become the safest state of the country.
Yeah, that was Maine. Correct. Thank you, Governor LaHood. For sure, Roy
Absolutely.
LaHood. Yeah. So, you know, when you like think about this, I talked to a guy. He isn't officially connected to the Bernie campaign, but it's called Bernie or Bust. Hopefully it'll be Bust.
Wow.
And this guy, like I said, well, Bernie's a socialist, but he owns three houses. And he says, well, he says he wrote books, you know, but shouldn't he be giving away all of his profits to better the state? And then I said, and he flies around all over the world in private planes. How does he reconcile that with the Green New Deal? And it's like, oh, well, he buys carbon offsets. You know, and he said this with a straight face, you know, it's like, oh, come on. I mean,
no, I bet he doesn't buy carbon offsets.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't. I want to see an accounting of all the private plane trips he's taken and the carbon offsets that he's purchased to make up for his irresponsible behavior towards the environment and towards climate change and his hypocrisy, you know?
Well, and what he's doing is exactly what happens in communist countries. The government can do whatever they want. And once they're in power, you have no voice in that. And if you get mad at them about it, they kill you. They execute. I mean, ask Cambodia and Pol Pot, the 50 million people that were killed after they took the guns away from them. And, you know, we are seeing that Socialist Party, they're not even the Democrat Party anymore. I mean, they're not the 80s Democrats. My friends that I grew up here in Texas who are Democrats who because of the name can't let go of it, but they sit there privately and say, you know, this isn't our Ann Richards Democrat. You know, these are not the JFK Democrats. You know, they're telling me they're communists, they're socialists, but they can't, I can't stomach voting for anybody else because of the name. And I'm like, man, now that is cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Absolutely.
Sheer lunacy.
You know, they're doing exactly right. The ruling class is the ruling class. And they can get away. They can create our government and anything they want. As long as they stay the ruling class, they will not lose power. And they don't care what we all go through. And that's what we're seeing from the quote unquote Democratic Party now. And it's scary. And I think the only way to fix that part of it is term limits. But we're not going to get that. The Congress is not going to do that to themselves. And it's pretty disturbing. So I think, you know, the only way that'll happen is if we do some kind of constitutional Congress and get the states together. But, you know, what's the likelihood of that happening?
So. Probably between little and none. You know, just don't see it really occurring. But, hey, we've been surprised before, though, haven't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So hopefully maybe we'll be surprised again. You know, it's just like the course of a hurricane. Nobody knows where it starts and nobody knows where it ends, but somehow they're still guessing. And no meteorologist ever got fired for sounding the alarm on a hurricane that didn't hit, right? That turned out to
absolutely
be nothing. So again, you know, and it's just you look at these people and it's been thoroughly discredited. The whole communist socialist theory of economics has been discredited. They tried it in Russia for 80 years, but I guess they just didn't have the right people there, right, Doctor?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beatty-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has an excellent shareholder base with Ross Beatty owning 20%, insiders 5%, and Resource Capital Funds 8%. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
They didn't have the right people, exactly. And, you know, they weren't compassionate like our communist here. Like
AOC, so. Yeah. Like,
and her economics degree. And what did that get her? A job as a barista? And then she ran for office and won. I'm impressed.
And now that her brain trust is gone because they were caught doing illegal campaign stuff, now she doesn't know how to think on her own anymore. She never did, but nobody's feeding her the right lines, right?
Exactly. And I mean, she even attacked her own party. She went after Nancy Pelosi, who, you know, I have my own feelings about that. But, you know, throwing her own party under the bus, to propagate this whole idea of progressive socialism, which in simple terms is communism.
Right. Yeah, it's lunacy, pure lunacy. And, you know, what's Einstein's definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And, you know, like the thing about Bernie is he diagnoses all the problems that are existing, that are there to some extent. But then his solutions are totally off the wall, unworkable, and will do much more harm than the underlying problem that he claims to want to solve. So
absolutely,
you know, I guess the definition of liberalism is never having to look at history and draw a conclusion, right?
Well, they are looking at history, and anything that might remind people about what this country went through to get to the republic that we have, they're getting rid of. And I'm talking about getting rid of these quote unquote racist military leaders. The reason why we left them up there is so we didn't repeat it. There's a reason why in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, they strike through the different ones that are overturned. They don't erase them. They want us to be able to read them so we don't do them again.
Which makes total sense, right? You're supposed to learn from history. But the one thing we learn from history, Doctor, is that we don't learn from history, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So how do you argue with an insane person? That's what I want to know. How can you make a point?
Well, you save your sanity and you move on.
Yeah. So it's not even worth it, but yet they're doing a lot of harm.
They are doing a lot of harm. So what we have to do is talk to the people who are sane. And, you know, the crazy thing is, you know, we see all these marches and protests and they say people like our president don't have any support. And the real reason why is the people who support that president are working their job. And they're out there. They don't have time to protest. They're protesting silently by going to work and paying their taxes and then going to the polls and voting where it counts. And this idea of, you know, the progressive wanted to get rid of the Electoral College clearly shows they don't understand the Electoral College because it's supposed to keep a minority of districts and small states that may have lots of people from controlling 95% of the country or greater. Just because, you know, what's good for California isn't good for Kansas, isn't good for Maine, isn't good for Wyoming. And we need to respect that. And our founding fathers put that in there for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I just hope that one day they all come to their senses. I mean, you have to ignore a lot of history and a lot of fact, doctor, to really believe in this stuff. And yet they're able to do it and avoid cognitive dissonance, right?
Well, the thing is, I think with the cognitive dissonance they're throwing in there, that makes them believe it even more. It actually strengthens their faulty belief set, because if you're not going to change the actual behaviors and incidents that are causing the dissonance, you have to change your belief set and say that, no, what I'm thinking is actually true, regardless of what the evidence shows me. And it is so hard to break that. And then they get together and they get on social media and they unlike anybody who doesn't agree with them, because they don't want to question themselves. And they create this pseudo groupthink mechanism where they think, you know, when they're crossing the street in New York City and there's 150 people waiting for that light, and they're on their social media listening in their iPad and listening to their earbuds, and they cross that street, they think all 150 people right there are thinking just like all their friends on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
And they think they're in this group. And the only way to reach a hierarchy to have any kind of authority in that group is to be the most extreme in the direction you want. And it just drives them to lunacy.
Yeah, it's quite a mess. I mean, they really don't think. They just don't think. It all seems to take place on a very unconscious level, what they're doing, you know?
Well, it's an emotional level. And the media and the politicians have gotten, for example, the word Trump. You talk to anybody who does not favor Trump, they actually go into an emotional outburst when you say that word. They've been programmed through stimulus response mechanisms in the media, in the news, that 15-minute news cycle we have now. It's not 24 hours. It's a 15-minute news cycle. And they tell you how evil he is, even though the data and everything he does not support that. But they keep beating your forehead with that. And so now they don't even have to prove it. They just say the word Trump, and you immediately go into fight or flight mode. So the blood flow gets redirected from your executive functions of your brain, your forebrain, to the limbic system, the old brain, the brain that's also we share with lizards and birds. And you stop thinking rationally, and now you become so predictable, so stimulus response, that they can get anything done they want. And all they have to do now is say that trigger word, Trump. You want to talk about trigger words? Trump. Yeah. Trump said Trump, right there.
Orange man bad, right? I mean, that's the
exactly.
meme. And there's a song, there's all sorts of videos on YouTube making fun of them. And then you had this other thing called a NPC, which is a non-playable character in a video game. And they freaked out when the meme makers of the right started calling all of these zombies NPCs, you know. They freaked out. And there's a character, you know, and then Twitter like banned the meme, and it was ridiculous. They just can't take a joke either. That's the other thing, right?
Well, and then they turn around and tell us, you know, that believe opposite of them, that we can't take a joke and we're the intolerant one. But they're actually in practice the intolerant one. And they're not willing to allow the other side, because they know if people actually stood and rationally looked at the arguments, they don't have them. That's why they go to the bigot, the racist, the philanderer, whatever they want to call them. You know, and you know, our racist president has 13 or 14 NAACP awards. He's been given awards by Jesse Jackson, by Al Sharpton, for helping inner city youth programs and pushing minority businesses. Nobody else was doing. He was, but he doesn't agree with their angle right now politically. So they all have just, you know, turned on him, and they don't care. You know?
Yeah. And like nobody, the media never reports the inconsistency. No one ever called Trump a racist until he ran for president, right?
Exactly. But see, you know, then that leads us to a bigger thing. You know, nobody wants to do that because they were going against the Arkadelphia machine, you know, the Clintons.
Right.
And now nobody wants to have Arkansas. Yeah. So, you know, it's a scary thing. You know, look at. You know, I talk about this in my forensic psychology classes. We talk about how many people, you know somebody who's actually committed suicide. How many people know somebody who has been a victim of a gunshot wound, you know?
Yeah.
Now, how many people know 5 people who've had either one of those happen? Now, how many people know 20 people who've had that happen? Yet the Clintons know close personal friends, over 50 people who have happened to them. Statistically, an anomaly.
Or very bad luck for those people. I think there's over 100, but it all depends.
How you count the personal security guards who died mysteriously and everything.
Well, we've seen that, but the Arkham side is a pretty bad epidemic. I hope that somebody can cure it. Anyways, maybe they'll just have to fade out of the limelight and, retirement. Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't think the mob ever retired, though. Hey, so, Doctor, we want to read more of your work, find out more about you. Where do we go?
You go to drpsycho.org, drpsycho.org, and you can follow all my social media, all my podcasts. Occasionally, we get shows like yours, and we put them up there as well, too, so.
Excellent. All right. Well, it's always a pleasure having you on. Thanks for clearing up that mystery of the irrationality of contemporary liberal thought in America. We've definitely made big advances in understanding the understandable for sure. And we'll talk to you again real soon. Questions or comments out there, you guys? What do you think of this? What do you think of Arkanside? And what do you think of the irrationality of the so-called progressive left? Their insanity. Email us, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Visit our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Hey, while you're at it, if you're listening on YouTube or whatever venue you might be at, please subscribe, like, and share. Subscribe, like, and share. It really helps us a lot when you get the word out. Information, that's the key. Get the knowledge out there, and eventually the truth will prevail. Doctor, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Carrie. It is a pleasure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.